So that was a pretty wild NFL week three. It's just me and Aaron today. Jason, lost in the Midwest. We're going to go over some of the biggest surprises, as well as some of the biggest letdowns. It'll be football all around for college football and the NFL. But before we go into that, don't forget to subscribe to our Dub Club and check us out on X and Instagram for daily picks. Although you might want to ignore the picks that we did this past week. So it was just an off week all over the place.
We still hit 50%, man. 9 for 9 between college and the NFL. Yeah. So even though college football should have been like a 9-3 week, disappointing some of these games, game management and all that, but we'll go into it later.
Very disappointing. Again, we're facing technical difficulties for some reason. I'm here in San Francisco paying a lot of money for high speed internet. We're also using a platform to record this stuff and we just can't get shit right. So whoever's listening and you want to come on board as a producer, we're hiring. We really need the help.
Amen to that, brother.
Amen to that. To kind of get things started, let's start off with the doubleheader. Monday Night Football, we were blessed with the Commanders going into the Bengals. Commanders were 1-1. Bengals were 0-2. Bengals were favored by 7.5 points. You would think the Bengals would come out and win, especially the way they looked last week against the Kansas City Chiefs. Joe Burrow did look good. There was parts of the offense that was solid. They were humming along. Jamar Chase had some nice touchdown grabs. But who would expect Jaden Daniels to be showing up? Although he was my rookie of the year pick before everything started, he looked nice last week and week before, kind of piecing things together. But today he just put an all-out performance for everyone to see, especially some clutch throws down the line. He was 21 for 23 and then added another 39 yards on the ground for a total of just under 300 yards total. LSU, Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks going 1-1 against each other. What did you get away from this game, Aaron?
Well, like you said, Jaden Daniels balled out, and thankfully we did have a doubleheader because that Jacksonville Jaguars-Buffalo Bills left a lot to desire on people's plates watching that one. But like you mentioned, man, Jaden Daniels that might be historically one of the top five games by a rookie quarterback in the regular season. Like you said, 21 of 23. 91% completion, just made all the plays when he needed to, made all the perfect throws, all-out blitz there, zero blitz by the Bengals, throws it up, gets the touchdown there to finish the Bengals off. Two LSU quarterbacks, Heisman winners, one a national championship winner. Cincinnati looked good on offense, but their defense was nowhere at the performance level that they needed to be to win this game. Jamar Chase, Joe Burrow, that connection looked strong. T. Higgins came back, they connected for a few big passes. Running game was good. I mean, Cincinnati put up 33 points. You put up 33 points at home on a Monday night. You expect to win that game with Cincinnati, given the defensive history they have. But Jaden Daniels and Cliff Kingsbury, they had everything. They were just two steps ahead. I mean, first down, mixing the pass, the run. I mean, they weren't in third and long really the whole game. And they just stayed ahead of the chains, kept Cincinnati off balance, and Cincinnati had a sellout at the end. They made them pay over the top with a game-winning touchdown. I mean, fantastic game by Jaden Daniels and the Washington Commanders.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. Jaden Daniels really mobile pretty quick. I guess he's not a fan of sliding when he's running for the first down. He has quite a bit of runs. I think the second most runs. Is it behind Allen possibly or behind Lamar Jackson in the season so far for carries? He did have a nice slide in the second half. They came away with some points with a nice 10-point lead. That throw, I can't remember to who. It was to McLaren, Terry, number 17. It was for like a nice 50-yard pickup at the end. That ball dropped like a dime. It was one of the more beautiful throws. Kind of reminded me of a little bit of the Colts quarterback, you know, how he can do 50-yard dimes but can't do 5-yard passes. But Jaden Daniels kind of piecing it all together. Great game all around and very impressive. Zach Ertz, I totally forgot he was on Washington as well. He had some nice clutch catches. Just a well-rounded game for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, Washington back-to-back weeks, no punts, no turnovers. I think it's amazing when you look at a rookie quarterback 3 games in. Washington has 0 turnovers on offense 3 games in from a rookie quarterback. We'd expect a rookie quarterback to be turning the ball over. We see that from the other rookie quarterbacks out there, young QBs. Washington, man. I mean, like you said, they hit the big plays when they needed to. Their defense wasn't great, but, you know, they held Cincinnati to two field goals. Cincinnati missed a clutch field goal. That was a difference. They converted touchdowns in the red zone. Cincinnati didn't until it was too late, ran out of time. And Jaden Daniels, I mean, he gets the game ball for sure. Him and Cliff Kingsbury. That O-line did a great job, too. I think Jaden Daniels only got sacked one time. His ability to get out of the pocket, extend plays. I think he leads the league right now in 13 first downs running the ball. And this looks kind of like Lamar 2.0 out there, you know. The run option, faking the handoff. He walks in for a five-yard touchdown. Third and one. You don't know if they're going to give it to the running back. He pulls it out. He gets – how many third and ones, fourth and ones did they convert? He converted at least two or three, just pulling the ball out and getting 2-3 yards. All-out blitz, you take the running back. It's an offense that looked really good. I didn't expect it to look this good in week three.
Yeah, so we're looking at the first three games. Obviously, 91% this past game. He hasn't been passing the ball all too much. 30 attempts was the most last week, but 184 yards the first game, 226 last game, 254 this past game. Completion percentage was off the charts, but he did get his first two touchdowns, plus a rushing touchdown, which was pretty sweet in the first half. Just kind of snuck it on the left-hand side with a nice gap. Burrow, though, let's talk about the Bengals. They were 7-point favorites. They looked like they came to play, and then all of a sudden, it kind of fell asleep at the wheel a little bit. Although Burrow looked sharp and the offense looked sharp at times, they really didn't have an answer for Washington, and now they're 0-3 in a really tough division. Yeah, my Steelers at a 3-0. The Ravens are struggling. The Browns are struggling. We talked about in the beginning of the season how this might be one of the toughest divisions in football, and everything's turned upside down.
I think it's still a good division. Steelers, you said, 3-0. Baltimore got back on the winning track. They've got a big game with Buffalo coming up. They're going to try to knock the Bills off that winless streak. Cincinnati, we thought they would come back. After week one, the offense laid a dud. Week two, balanced game. You know, questionable. Stupid play there, getting a PI late in the game, cost them a win. And then here in week three, the offense shows up, the defense doesn't. So they haven't put it together consistently yet. There's no balance between this team. They've been 0-2 the last 3 years. Now they're 0-3. I don't know what the percentage of numbers of teams that have made the playoffs at 0-3. I'm sure it's at 1%, maybe less. They've dug themselves a deep hole. If there's any team we think can get out of it, it's Cincinnati, but maybe this is just not their year.
Maybe not. Maybe it's just a down year finally for Burrow. This is his fourth season, but it's been like hit, injured, great season, another injury, and now this is like his fourth. He hasn't really had two full seasons yet. We kind of forget about that. Bengals schedule coming up. It's kind of like up or down. There's a chance to get to 500 pretty quickly. They face the Panthers up next. Then the Ravens, which would be a tough divisional game. The Giants, we can talk about that later on. But Daniel Jones kind of looked competent this past game with neighbors, you know, looking phenomenal. They got the Browns again. And then the Dr. Jekyll and Hyde Eagles, so Raiders after that. So there's a chance to get the 500 and maybe go on a run, but did not see this coming.
Didn't see it coming, man. You see the hat on my head. You just got to find a way to get one. Get one win and kind of build on that and go from there, brother.
Aaron's rocking a Florida State FSU hat, by the way.
Oh and three and got a win, man. So Cincinnati can relate, dude. Cincinnati can relate.
Yeah, pretty impressive. As far as the other Monday night game, Jaguars, they came in 0-2. You would think that they would wake up. Had a close loss against Miami in week one. Last week looked like it was shell of themselves. Lawrence hasn't won what it's been like 8 or 9 games now. Eight straight starts. And then the Bills, they've looked phenomenal the first 2 weeks. And I know you and Jason called that this would be an automatic win. I thought if anything, this might be like a slight little letdown. Bills would be okay. They're going to have a great season. But, man, they came to play. They had a 2-touchdown lead really early on.
Bills, like you said, Rome, they came to play. They smoked Jacksonville. Let's not beat around the bush. That was an old ass whipping. They took them behind the barn shed and whipped their ass. Jacksonville, I don't know what they're doing right now. Offensively, they look lost. Defensively, they look lost. They ran the same defensive scheme the whole game. It wasn't working. They didn't make any adjustments. And when you don't make any adjustments against a team that's running up and down the field on you, they're going to drop a 40-burger plus on you.
Most definitely.
And Josh Allen, we talked about it coming into the season. Who's his wide receivers? Well, he made his wide receivers look great. He's got Shakur. He's got Kincaid. Coleman out of Florida State with his first TD. Cooks, he's balling out. You know, Cook's probably up there right now for MVP candidates. This offensive line is good. Jacksonville had beaten Buffalo the last two times we played. I like Buffalo to win the game. I thought Jacksonville would keep it close, desperate for a win. But they were nowhere to be shown, man. I mean, if I'm a Jaguars fan and a player in that locker room, I'm embarrassed by that performance on Monday night.
Yeah, you did have the Jags plus five. I thought that was kind of a gutsy call, but... Yeah, Allen hit seven different receivers, I believe. Yeah, Kincaid, Coleman had a nice grab. One grab was a nice touchdown grab. Got Cook a few times. Shakir had 72 yards and another touchdown. Johnson got a touchdown. Well-rounded. He was, 23 for 30, 263 yards, but four TDs all in the first half. It was over before it even started.
Yeah, I mean, Josh Allen's performance on Monday night was good. It was only shown up by Jaden Daniels' Monday night performance being great. If not, we'd be talking about how good Josh Allen looked, but Jaden Daniels is going to steal the show. I think the most impressive thing right now with Buffalo is that defense. They got so many guys out on defense in the linebacker core, secondary. We kind of thought that'd be their weakness. But maybe this new DC and Sean McDermott, they know something we didn't. I thought Buffalo was going to take a step back this year with all the new players they got on offense. Now you got Joe Brady, full-time OC. He was Joe Burrow's OC at LSU, kind of turned his career around. Joe Brady was a guy kind of people gave up on, but now I think he's going to be a hot name, and what he's done with Josh Allen, he's going to get a head coaching job in the offseason, I think.
Yeah, quite possibly. So Von Miller had another great game, had one sack, tackle for loss. Then you had DeMar Hamlin. That was a poor throw by Lawrence, probably one of the ugliest fucking throws I've seen all fucking year. And I, you know, for all the shit that we're giving Young out of Carolina, no one's really talking about Lawrence. Like, I think it's time for him to kind of get the shit. Like that's, he got to be hot. Like, they got to get him out of there.
Yeah, Rome, you talked about eight straight starts he's lost, and it doesn't look like things are getting better. He's regressing. I don't think it's anything close to what Young is right now, but his confidence looks shot. Like you said, that interception, he missed him by 10 yards. I mean, it was wide open. I mean, that was pitch and catch. Yeah. I mean, I had to look to see if that was Lawrence or Richardson for a second because that was the kind of throw I'd expect him to miss. But Jacksonville, nothing, man. Just nothing tonight. They came out, like I said, they just got their ass whooped. That's simple as that. You show up tomorrow, you show up Wednesday, if you're Jacksonville, you put on the tape, and you say you got your ass whooped. Watch it. Don't let it happen again come Sunday.
So here's the crazy thing, man. So I don't know if you want to talk about the AFC South real quick, but Texas got manhandled. And then Jaguars, we kind of figured they might be like a second-place team there. But... this was really a really tight division, and now you got 2-0 and 3 teams. The Colts hanging in there. I think they're a nice, you know, 1-2 team, and then Texans all by themselves at 2-1, and then you got the AFC East. Bills are just starting to run away with it. It's kind of crazy.
I think the Bills are the class of the AFC East with Miami and Tua being out. They're a sinking ship right now. The Jets, they're looking pretty good. They've got Denver this weekend. We expect them to win that game. Like I said, Buffalo's going to Baltimore. That's going to be a slugfest. I believe that's a Sunday nighter.
It's going to be tough.
So we're going to get a good idea just how, I mean, if Buffalo goes in there and beats up on Baltimore, watch out, Buffalo. I mean, I think Buffalo is for real. That game could go either way, but it's going to be a slugfest Sunday night in Baltimore.
Yeah. Speaking of Baltimore, let's talk about that game really quick. Or do you want to talk about that game, or should we talk about like more impressive wins so far this week?
I mean, we might as well have jumped to Baltimore for three quarters. They were looking like one of the most impressive teams this weekend.
They looked really good. And for some reason, I just didn't think the Cowboys were completely out yet in the fourth quarter. And then they came storming back. And I don't know. It seems like the Cowboys defense has, you know, trouble like stopping the run. Before this weekend, or like before this year, they were like kind of middle of the pack, and that was like a big question mark. Now this year, now they're the worst against the run. Thankfully to Jason's Bears, you know, getting stopped by the Colts. The Colts were the leading contender for having the worst rush defense, but now that's all Cowboys. And you think if they're going to be always be behind, Dak Prescott is going to probably be getting like a lot of yardage in the air just because they're always trying to catch up and try to get some points on the board.
Well, Dak Prescott got that $60 million contract because sometimes he has to build this defense out and pads the stats. And, you know, if you just looked at the box score and the final score of that game and saw 28-25, you thought it was a good game.
Yeah.
Dak didn't do anything for three quarters. Cowboys' offense was anemic. They were getting manhandled by Baltimore. And then Baltimore, like, for whatever reason, when the fourth quarter comes, like, that team just shuts off. They've got seven blown leads of double digits in the fourth quarter since 2021. They've already blown, you know, a game the week before against the Raiders team, which we'll get into later. And you talked about Dallas against the run. I mean, Baltimore ran the ball 75% of their plays. Derrick Henry looked like the Derrick Henry of old. Lamar was able to do what they wanted to do. Dallas, you know, they can't stop the run against big physical teams. That's been their downfall. That's why the 49ers love to play them. Kyle Shanahan, get back there, get the fullback, run it down their throat, play action all day. It works against Dallas because once Dallas gets frustrated, they just kind of play individual ball, hero ball, and they sell out, get out of position. You can get big plays against them.
So I'm a big fan of Derrick Henry, and he just looks really fucking good. Like, this is a big pickup. This and Saquon Barkley, probably some of the more fun pickups in the offseason for running backs. And the fact that now everyone's running the ball, but 25 carries, 150 yards, two touchdowns. He looks solid. And to think, I know this is like big like on the media, but he wanted to be a Cowboy. But then Jerry Jones didn't fucking want him. And you guys, he had a funny quote, man. It was something like, well, we have a mansion, but we couldn't afford another mansion. So that's why we didn't get him. It's like, dude, you guys have Ezekiel Elliott. You guys have no fucking rush. You know, they could have used Derrick Henry. They're like, this would have changed the whole fucking Cowboys team completely if they had Derrick Henry.
Definitely would help him out. And like you said, I mean, what's a big deal pointing up another $5-6 million for a running back like Derrick Henry who can just, his presence back there brings an attitude to your team and your offense and just helps motivate you. I think Baltimore realized, hey, Derrick Henry hadn't had a good first 2 weeks. Dallas is soft against the run. We saw what Kamara and the Saints did the week before. Let's feed the beast. And the beast ate. He ate on Sunday.
They ate. I think Baltimore, they didn't score in the fourth quarter, right? They were pretty much done with 28 to like 6 or something like that, 20 to 3.
Yeah, 28 to 6, yeah.
So that's like 19 points in the fourth. Yeah, that's where all the stats came from for Dallas. They'd be worried if I was a Dallas fan. They look kind of shaky. They spent all that money. Yeah, CeeDee Lamb, another guy, he held out a little bit for a contract. He's been hit or miss.
Yeah, Dallas didn't do a lot in the offseason. Remember, Jerry just kind of sat on it. He kept saying, we're all in. People kept waiting for them to make moves. They didn't make moves. Were they going to pay Dak? Were they going to play CeeDee? Micah Parsons' contract's up. A lot of talk in Dallas land, not a lot of results right now. And they got a short week game traveling to the Meadowlands to take on the New York football Giants. I think we should jump into the Giants because the Giants looked pretty good on Sunday.
All right, so I got to be honest, man. I didn't catch too much of this game. I thought it was going to be like a fucking ugly shit show. But it ended up being one of the four screens. I was trying to, you know,
I avoided this game on my four screens, but I did see a little bit of the, you know, highlights here and there because I just don't want to watch Deshaun Watson and Daniels play quarterback.
Yeah, I caught a little bit of the second half once I saw the Giants were up. It was just a weird day of football for like the morning games. Daniel Jones looked pretty decent. Their wide receiver neighbors coming out of LSU, he looked really nice. That guy just, he's quick. He's big. It looks like Jones is just letting some of these throws just float in the air. He's just like going up in the air and grabbing them. He had two TDs.
Yeah, I don't know what's in that crawfish they got down there in Louisiana, but the receivers that come out of there from Beckham to Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, now you got Neighbors. I mean, they just produce studs. It's a factory wide receiver stud factory, Louisiana State University. Neighbors, you talked about balling out two TDs. You got Jaden Daniels as Rookie of the Year. I think his biggest threat is Neighbors.
Yeah, Neighbors is going to probably have a good year, you know, if he had a better quarterback. Actually, Jones looked pretty decent. 236, two touchdowns, 24 for 34, rather, my bad. But do you think it was like a fluke performance or like, I think typically like the first 4 weeks, right, we always talk about like we're going to finally see like the mean or like what these teams are really going to be. So I still think we're like still in like the early part of it. But Giants kind of surprised me this game. I thought, you know, Cleveland would kind of rebound from last week, and they just didn't show up.
Cleveland's had two home losses, and they've both been disappointing to the Cowboys and Giants. Daniel Jones, as you mentioned, he looked good against Washington. He played good here in this game. They might have been able to beat Washington had they had a kicker. He got hurt in pregame, so they just had to keep going for two. Couldn't kick extra points, field goals. That ended up costing them the game because the Commanders had seven field goals and beat them. But historically, Daniel Jones has sucked against Dallas. That defensive front and pressure has given him a lot of trouble in fits in the past.
Right.
They play him Thursday night. But they, you know, with Neighbors, they got that threat. And we know you can run on Dallas. So can the Giants establish the run game? Again, what's a quarterback's favorite friend, especially one that turns the ball over, prone to make mistakes? A run game. Give him a run game. Then you can go play action. You know Dallas gets carried away, tries to get interceptions, maybe get Neighbors over the top, get him underneath, get some quick passes going. If I'm Dallas, you said, should they be worried? We'll see. We'll see. I mean, the Giants, I don't know how good they are, but I think this can be a more competitive, good game on Thursday than what we were probably expecting 2-3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I'm still kind of like iffy like on a lot of these teams, and Giants kind of threw that in a wrench because they were way more competitive than I thought they would be against Washington. Washington's obviously is going to be more competitive than many of us thought they would be, but that's going to be a pretty fun division. It's going to be a fucking slugfest. Speaking of which, like the Eagles with Sirianni, Hurts turning the ball over again. Like we just talked about this last week. Like, you know, if Hurts is going to keep on like fumbling and throwing interceptions, like what the fuck is going on? They did not look like they have great play calling against the Saints. And the Saints, Derek Carr looked like Derek Carr from last year.
Yeah, the Saints gave that one away. I mean, you stop them on fourth down twice, taking points off the board, Sirianni. It's kind of like where when you got your own players looking over at you, like, are you sure? You got all the fans in the crowd pointing and yelling, take the three, take the three. And he's just like, he's got that bulldog look, like, we're going for it. I don't care. And then you get stuffed, and then you get stuffed. Eagles are fortunate to come out with that win, and give credit to Saquon Barkley for coming back and redeeming himself. He blew that game Monday night with that drop pass. But two big TD runs. He had that one that got him on the board. I think it was about a 60-70-yard run. I think his resilience and toughness was the difference in getting that team through. Jalen Hurts, like you mentioned, turning the ball over a lot. Just kind of looks lackadaisical sometimes in the pocket. Strip sack, throws a TD or interception in the end zone. You can't have those mistakes. And then the lack of taking field goals on 4th and 3. Again, we talked about it. When there's points, take the points. I know the Commanders kind of beat that trend today, but this was a different game. You're in a shootout against Burrow. They needed the points. You're in a defensive battle. You always take the points in a defensive battle.
Yeah, so like this, like the game, this was ugly, man. I was looking forward to what we thought it was going to be a shootout. I was watching it. I just couldn't fucking stand it. 3 fucking points in the first half, and I think it wasn't until the fourth quarter everyone started scoring. That's when both of the Saquon Barkley touchdowns happened. If it wasn't for Saquon Barkley, which is kind of weird because Eagles, so fucking talented, and I think I had them winning the division, but they might be like the ugliest 2-1 team out there. I don't know what to make of them. And if it wasn't for Saquon Barkley, because they could easily be 3-0 if Barkley caught that pass, but it kind of feels like they can also be 0-3.
Yeah, I mean, the Packers, that opener in Brazil, that game could have gone either way. So they're fortunate to win that game. Atlanta, nail-biter. Saints, nail-biter. I mean, Eagles have a ton of talent, but they just seem like an undisciplined, unorganized team at some time, which is kind of weird because you go back 2 years ago when they made that Super Bowl run. Like,
yeah.
Everything clicked. Everything clicked. And it's like they kind of lost their mojo and that toughness that they had. So we'll see with the Eagles, man. I mean, I don't know what you're going to get week to week. I don't know if Sirianni's going to change his ways and be like, we're going to kick field goals. I mean, they got a top-5 kicker. The guy's a really good kicker. You're indoors. Almost cost his team the game, man. And we could go back, like you said, you know, the Monday Nighter, you know, do you run the ball there and take another 40 seconds off the clock instead of saving Kirk Cousins that minute 40?
Yeah, crazy. Yeah, I just don't know what to think on that. Where do we go from here, Matt?
Let's jump into your Steelers, man.
Steelers, this was definitely a game that I had on the main screen. I was flipping between this and every other game, but it got the most playing time. They looked really good. First of all, I know when we were talking about the game last week, I did not realize the Chargers had one of the top defenses. And I know when we talked on the phone earlier, you mentioned it was probably because who they played the first 2 weeks. But they looked solid. Like, Harbaugh got his team coached up. They had great schemes. They play a lot of pressure. But then I just kind of want to give it up for, you know, what Tomlin has done so far for the Steelers and kind of letting Fields kind of progress. They kind of let him rip the ball a little bit down the middle. He had some nice throws. Did get an interception. It wasn't his fault, but I know Jason's upset because I've been saying, like, Justin Fields has been playing, like, the cleanest, most complete football of his life, but I truly believe that. I think he's won the fucking starting job, and I don't see why they should ever go back to Russell Wilson unless Fields plays his way out of it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you're going to see Russell Wilson unless Fields gets hurt or just starts making dumb mistakes. I mean, going back on Fields, I had him as the number one rated quarterback coming out of that class. I had him rated over Trevor Lawrence. I had him rated over Mac Jones. I had him rated over Trey Lance. I wish Kyle Shanahan would have taken this guy. I mean, think about Justin Fields working with him. So, I mean, we can all look back on it and say, what if. But give the Steelers credit. They came out, played Steeler Tomlin ball, run the ball. Justin Fields played really well in the passing game. That was it Trayvon Austin. Hit him for some big passes. He had a TD. Pickens made some catches. Very much right. Tight end.
Calvin Austin. But yeah, Calvin Austin had a nice 50-yard
grab. Calvin Austin's the old Ram from West Virginia, I believe.
Yeah. Are they all kind of blend together?
I don't know if they're related or anything, but...
I don't either. Let me look it up real quick.
But yeah, the Chargers, you know, like we said when we were talking earlier, their defense, I mean, yeah, they played the Raiders and the Bryce Young and the Panthers. But this Chargers team, they have Harbaugh's DNA. They're definitely a different team than they were last year. You're not going to get an easy victory over this Charger team. You're not going to just come in, get the Brandon Staley, lay down, drop 70 points, and then take it up the rear end and see you next week. This Charger team is coming to play. They're not messing around. And it's going to be interesting.
Dude, have you talked to your mom about them? I would be pretty excited about this Chargers team.
I haven't yet. I'll have to give her a call.
Yeah, so Aaron's mom is a big Chargers fan. So is his dad. And we've been to a few games with them. And April, we'll have to have her on the pod. She knows her Charger history. But I don't know. This is a fun team. I would totally go to a few games. It looked good. They had a chance to steal it. Thank God Herbert got hurt at the end of the game. And Boswell kicked some more clutch field goals. But I'm excited. I think this is like the best case scenario for the Steelers. I know I had them as like a 10-win team. Everyone's laughing at me, but they definitely look like a 10-11 win team to me. And I don't know, maybe they don't need to score more than 21 points. Like, this is a low-scoring season so far. Maybe they can just outmaneuver everyone on defense and just fucking muscle their way into winning the division. I know it's early. I know the Steelers have done this before. They were like, they're fucking dominant, and then they just shit the bed in the later half. But I'm digging whatever Tomlin has finally done to this team for them to wake up. And of course, J.J. Watt is fucking tearing it up. I really like him.
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to give a lot of credit with the Arthur Smith hire at OC.
Not J.J. Watt.
J.J. Watt. Who cares? Okay. You know, they're all the same. Both dominant defensive players. But Arthur Smith on offense calling plays, you know, he did a great job in Tennessee with Tannehill. He went to Atlanta. They fired him after 3 years. But what did he not have? He didn't have a quarterback. I mean, the quarterback he had last year is not even the league this year, and he still managed to win 7 games. So I think that was kind of premature, maybe on Atlanta, to toss him out and just throw him out there. Great, great hire by Tomlin. Let me get a veteran voice in here, a guy that actually knows how to call offense, not like the guy they had that they picked up at Home Depot the last few years. But Justin Fields, like you said, he's the guy going forward. I've even heard rumors on other shows that would they trade Russell Wilson if somebody came calling? And Miami was brought up. I think with Tua being out, Wilson looks perfect in the Miami Flipper jersey.
That's actually a good idea. I actually heard too somewhere that, speaking of Miami, Young might be a good fit there.
Yeah, I don't think Carolina's ready to give up on Young yet. No, I mean, no, Andy Dalton, the Red Rifle, he's still got some bullets in that gun, man. He's still got some lead in there.
All right, So I called him. Let's go to that, because I called him the pod, dude, that it was prime time for an upset. I asked you guys if he had anything left in the tank. I did some reading on the boards, was on Twitter, saw some vids. I was fucking sold. I was just writing it. I thought like maybe like veteran presence might change the Carolina Panthers for a game or two. And fuck, dude, I couldn't fucking believe it. They beat the shit out of the Raiders. And then the Raiders, the Pierce fan, post-game, calling the players out, saying people were, making
business decisions.
So maybe they should make business decisions. Like, dude, like you're getting your ass kicked. And what do you expect?
Yeah, Andy Dalton, I thought he would give the team a little bit of spark. I did not expect him to beat the Raiders, especially beat them like they did. I expected the game to be competitive, but to go out there and just dominate the Raiders like they did was surprising. Antonio Pierce post-game basically saying you guys gave up, made business decisions. Week three, there's no reason to be calling that. You know, his main guys, Devontae Adams, Crosby. No, they were asked about it afterwards, and they were just kind of, I don't think so, but we'll watch the film and see.
Yeah,
no, that's not a good look. This is week three. You're not making business decisions week three. Now, maybe the effort was lacking after they're down 28 points. That happens. Guys know the game's over. So they kind of like, you're like, all right, let's just get out of here and get to week four. But for Pierce to call him out like that, I mean, business decisions. Let's look at the Raiders quarterback situation. Talk about business decisions. They didn't even spend any money on a quarterback this offseason. Of all the quarterbacks that are out there, I mean, that's the biggest fault of the Raiders. They don't have a quarterback. So for him to say, hey, business decision by the players, look at management. A lot of good QBs were out there. Darnold was out there. Darnold, does anybody remember that guy? We'll get to Minnesota. But he was available for, what, $10 million? Raiders said, no thanks.
Yeah. I think, like, O'Connell came at the end of the game, right, and got a touchdown. So that kind of changed the score a little bit. But I think Carolina had three touchdowns in the first half.
I think Carolina was up 36-7 on the road.
It was an ass whooping. Dalton had 300 plus yards. He's the first quarterback, I think, this season that had three touchdowns and 300 plus yards, which is crazy in itself. Some guy that's like one step into retirement, but he looked really nice. I guess with that performance, though, did Carolina make like the right hire? Like at least now I'm starting to think, like, did they make the right hires in like coaching, and like, do they have like the right upgrades? They just need like a veteran presence, or is it still a shit show because they just go through quarterbacks? Like maybe they don't have like the right setup for like young quarterbacks. And I guess I'm probably not the only one. It's like a bunch of questions, but Young obviously looked like shit. His confidence is gone, and it didn't make him look better. But Carolina, this can't just be like a one off.
We're gonna see Bryce Young again in Carolina play this season.
Yeah.
And Carolina's getting the fact that they're getting trade offers for him, and they've even admitted they have, and they said no, and they said they're going to play Young again this year. They know they're not a playoff team. I like the hire of Dave Canales. He was in Seattle, I think, as a quarterback coach, got Geno Smith turned around. We saw what he did with Baker in the 1 year.
Yeah.
So this guy knows how to do. I mean, he's not a dummy. He knows how to manage games, get quarterbacks the best out of them. Maybe it's just veteran quarterbacks. You take Geno Smith, 10 years in the league, people write him off. Andy Dalton, you said he's got 1 foot in, 1 foot out. But we're kind of seeing this from veteran quarterbacks. We saw it from Joe Flacco of the Browns. Guys can come in. People think they're washed up, but they know the game. They can still make throws. Don't write these guys off. Whether or not, you know, Carolina's not, you know, let's not sugarcoat it. I don't think they're going to the playoffs or anything.
Right.
But they dismantled the Raiders, and they've got the Raiders organization in a tipsy right now.
That's funny, man. Yeah, we'll see. That division is starting to look pretty interesting, though.
Yeah, I mean, great for them. Everybody lost. We thought Tampa would win at home in New Orleans, and they'd go into 3-0. They're only one game back.
Only one game back. It's muddled in the middle. Saints, who look like they're going to run away with it, they came back down to earth. Bucks came back down to earth. I don't know if you want to talk about that game, but that was an ugly game as well. I couldn't watch it. Baker, a quick disappearing act.
Well, we talked about it. We said it was a trap game. Broncos 0-2, getting 7 points, going into Tampa. Tampa coming off a big, big emotional win against Detroit. You expect a little bit of a letdown. Not as much of a letdown we saw. That's the National Football League. When you think you got an easy winner, bet the opposite side.
Yeah, we did call it a trap game. I didn't expect Broncos to come out, though, like that. And then Bo Nix, I know you called him, like, the second coming of Drew Brees. But the game plan that they're kind of setting up for him, whatever they're doing, you know, he's making some pretty good strides. And from like what I saw, it, you know, it was really nice to see.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to get better with all the reps, practice, game, film sessions. The key for him was first 2 weeks, threw an interception in the end zone. This week, no interceptions in the end zone. Once you turn the ball over in the end zone, that's like deflated because not only are you taking points off your team, but you give the other team momentum. And if they come back and score, that could be a 14-point swing. So that's the key for Denver. Play good defense. They got a solid defense. Run the ball. They really haven't established it yet. And keep the game simple for Bo Nix. Sean Payton's a great game manager, great game caller. Once Bo Nix gets more comfortable and stuff, he'll get better. Tough matchup this weekend with the Jets. That's a good defense, we assume. Jets have shown better improvement. It's going to be a good game.
Speaking of rookie quarterbacks, let's talk about the Bears real quick. Caleb had, I think, 300 or almost 300 yards, was being attacked all day. Like, that O-line is so porous. Some of the play calling was kind of like iffy. I did have it as one of the games I was mainly watching, but it got to the point where it was just ugly football. Both teams were turning the ball over. Richardson, who I'm a fan of, we just mentioned earlier, this guy can throw like 50 yards, 60 yard dimes, but then can't throw 5 yards, which is probably like giving a whole bunch of Colts fans like mind-boggling paranoia. They're probably drinking themselves to death. So Caleb did have 360, 2 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. This was a weird game. Rome Odunze came to play. He looked really nice finally. He finally showed up with 100-plus yards and a touchdown. But if I was a Bears fan, Jason, this is for you, man. I gave a warning that this is no way a 10-11-1 team. They should be competitive. But based on like the play calling and what they're doing, I think they should be panicking a little bit.
If you're a Bears fan, yes, panic button. The meter's gone up. Last week it was a 1. I've got it like at a 4 right now. Caleb, the offensive line isn't great. Yeah, he threw for 363, but it was an ugly 363.
Yeah.
The offense still can't run the ball. I'm looking at the stats right now. 63 yards against a defense that was giving up 250 plus a game. You know they're going to, we talked about, you know the Colts are going to focus on the run. So sometimes you want to, you know, do the opposite. Hey, they're going to focus all week on the run, so we're going to throw the ball. But we talk about what's a young quarterback's best friend, or any quarterback's for that matter, run the ball.
Yeah.
The Bears have no run game. DeAndre Swift, 13 carries, 20 yards. Hey, Rome, let me tell you something. I can get that on any Sunday.
So, like, when we were talking about it last week, I knew that the Colts had, like, a porous run defense, and I said, if they could just bring it down 50 yards, like focus on that and like minimizing the mistakes. I like the Colts to win. I think you guys took the Bears, but I didn't expect them to hold.
I think I took the Colts, but I don't remember.
But, you know, I didn't expect them to hold the Bears like what, 60 yards for the game? It was really impressive. They still play like shit. Jonathan Taylor, a beast, man. I'm so glad he's healthy again. He had 20-something carries, I think, like 2 touchdowns. It was really good. I still don't know what to make about the Colts. There's like half the teams in the league I don't know what to make of because they're like Jekyll and Hyde. They're kind of good, and they're also kind of shitty, and it's fucking weird. And I don't think we're going to get clarity until, like, what, week 5 or 6, I would say, to know, like, who's...
I say we get more clarity at the end of October. I mean, you talked about the Colts not knowing who they are. You know who they got this week, right? They got the Steelers.
Where at though?
I think it's in Indianapolis.
Yeah, let's just check it.
It is a home game. It is a home game. I think the early line is like 1.5, 2 points. I think the Colts might be favored too. Maybe the Steelers. I have to go back and look at it. But yeah, I mean, Richardson, we talked about it. He only played one season in college, 13 starts. He only made, what, 5 starts his rookie year last year, and then he's 3 starts into this year.
Yeah.
He can throw the deep ball beautifully. I mean, he's a guy I think can throw it from one goal line to the other, but he can't make simple throws. He was 10 for 20 in this game. He threw a lob pass for an interception in the end zone. He just basically threw an alley-oop to the defense. And then the Bears, you talked about it. You know, they got a great defense with a run game. You know, Shane Waldron is OC. I talked to you earlier. I think Matt Eberflus, he's on the hot seat. I just don't see a guy that's a head coach. He doesn't manage games good. Their replay challenge, their whole clock management's terrible. I mean, for all the shit that Hackett received over there being 1 year coach of the Broncos, I think Matt Eberflus is, if he doesn't get to the playoffs or at least a winning season, or this offense can turn things around, there's too many good offensive coaches out there that would love to work with Caleb Williams.
Right.
Regardless, if I'm a Bears fan or a Bears organization, I'm pulling the plug on him.
Just from the beginning, that's why I didn't think they had to make the playoffs in order to save his job. They just had to be competitive and look competent, but they don't even look close to that. So he is in trouble, man. They don't look very good. As far as Rich,
I would say Bears panic meter, like we said, 4. I'd say Matt Eberflus is about a 7 or 8.
I'll give it like a good 6 for sure. Yeah, at least a 6. It's a hot 6. I might throw that. That's a really hot one. It boils
it's
water.
It's a hot 7 getting ready to boil to an 8 over on mine.
Maybe. We'll have to ask Jason on Thursday because he's not here with us, and I'm really curious to see how he's feeling, man. So I didn't know, like, other guys were, like, Bears fans on Twitter, like Ryan Russillo and obviously, like, Seth Rollins. You know, he's a big Bears fan. They were, like, all over Twitter talking shit. So it is what it is. You know, that's what you get for having high hopes. For me, you know, I'm just happy the Steelers are competitive right now.
There you go, man. There you go.
Damn. What have we not covered?
I think we got to go into it. Your guy, Malik Willis, man. Malik Willis. You want to, right. You know, we talked about him. Basically, Tennessee shipped him out of town a month ago and said he was done. Now he comes in and beats him on Sunday.
Yeah, he didn't really get a fair shot in the Titans. I remember when they drafted him, it was like a lot of talk about like how athletic he was, but he only played a couple times. Never got more than 100 yards. I was right on that thing, where he never got more than 100 yards passing with the Titans. And yeah, no one really thought he was going to get this much playing time, but I kind of want to, like, I'm trying to think, like, who are the top 5 coaches in the league now? Because based on what LaFleur is doing with, like, Love and then even Willis coming in, who would have thought they'd be 2-0 without Love? Now they still have a chance to win that division and get, like, you know, 10, 11 wins at the very least. Before, I thought they were done and they were going to make my pick look really nice, the Detroit Lions. Detroit Lions might be an up and down season for them as they try to figure, like, how much of a contender they're going to be. It might be, like, one of those, you know, take a step back before you take a couple steps forward. But LaFleur, the Packers, they demolished the tie-ins. It was a good fucking win, and Willis played really fucking good.
Yeah, Willis played really well. And like you said, Green Bay's Matt LaFleur, he's top 3 coach in the NFC with McVay and Shanahan. He's up there. You know, people kind of question how good of a coach he was because he kind of had Rodgers still in his prime. Rodgers won like 2 MVPs out of 3 years.
Right.
So there was questions. I think he's the first coach in NFL history to win 3 straight years of 13-plus wins. And then you got Jordan Love. This team was 3-5 last year. Jordan Love, he called him out at pressers saying he's not getting the job done. He turned him around. Malik Willis, right on, like you said, no 100-yard passing game yet in the NFL. Tennessee couldn't wait to get rid of him for, what, a 6th-round pick. And then, you know, people were making fun of him. Even you were when he came in to throw that Hail Mary and ate a sack. I gave him a pass in Brazil and said, look, he's not warmed up. You got to wait and just you're not used to the speed of the game. It's basically you've been sitting there in the Brazil cold for 3.5 hours, and then they tell you, hey, keep the ball 50 yards. So it wasn't a good look, but he came out. He balled against the Colts. And then he balled against the Titans. And they got the Vikings this week. I don't know if Love's going to be ready or not. If he's not, I wouldn't have a problem going back to Malik Willis. The key is they're kind of using him like, you know, Washington uses Jaden Daniels. Short passes, get him out in space, run it if it's there. Mobility's always been great. That's what he did at Liberty. But, yeah, I give the Packers a ton of credit for getting to 2-1 because it didn't look good when Love went down. People are saying maybe the season's over. Now you can afford to sit Love another week or two just to make sure that MCL sprain's right.
Yeah, now they got that extra breathing room. Honestly, even if they lose a game or two, it's way better than what we thought they'd be right now. So they're playing with house money, and the way the division's kind of getting beat up right now, outside of Minnesota, which they're looking great. But maybe you guys are right. Maybe there is 3 teams coming out of that division in the playoffs. We'll see.
I think it's going to be three teams if Minnesota can keep it going. We had the Vikings. It's not that third team. I think we had the Bears. I'm not ready to quote-unquote give up on the Bears, but I'm not high on them coming out. I think Minnesota is legit with Brian Flores. Kevin O'Connell can call a great game on offense. They got weapons, running backs. They've got, like we said, they got Green Bay this weekend. I think that game's in Lambeau Field. That's going to be a good week four matchup, divisional matchup game.
Yeah. I didn't have Bears in the playoffs, but I don't know, man. It kind of depends on how well Minnesota plays the rest of the year, right? It's all going to be on the
end. I would take Minnesota just because Minnesota's better coached. Better coached on all sides of the ball. And Sam Darnold right now is way more progressed and ahead of schedule than Caleb Williams is. And even if Caleb does catch up, I think it'll probably be too late in the year for the Bears if things continue to go the way they are.
I just think Darnold has got his ass kicked already. You know, he had a couple years, which were like up and down with the Jets. He had that bad year with Carolina, but who doesn't have a bad year with Carolina? And then that year with the Niners sitting behind Purdy, I think that's been like probably the best move that he could have done in his career, because he got to be around Shanahan, got to be around a winning culture, and now he's with like a solid coaching crew. The Vikings, they might knock off either the Lions or the Packers out of the playoffs. Like, that's what I'm thinking. There might be like a two team in the playoffs, and Vikings are in it. They're going to kick somebody out.
Yeah, I mean, we're 3 weeks in. We'll see how this thing plays out.
Yeah, it's three weeks.
Dallas, I didn't have Dallas making the playoffs, so that's looking pretty good right now. Commanders are 2-1. We didn't expect them to be 2-1. We expected them to lose tonight. Saints 2-1. Didn't see that coming. Atlanta's 1-2. We had them winning the division, or I think you had Tampa Bay.
At Tampa, but
so, I mean, we're three games in. It's early. But Minnesota, not only is Minnesota winning, but they're winning. They've looked the best as far as just dominating opponents on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, most definitely. Speaking of like undefeated teams, I hate the Chiefs. I think I'm going to make a point of it that I hate them. And once again, they got bailed out, in my opinion, by the refs. There's no pass interference calls on the Chiefs. There's no offsides in the Chiefs. They're like blitzing like a good second early. Nothing happened. Falcons, they kind of had mistakes down the stretch as well. But Chiefs, man, I think their over-under for the year was like 11 or 12 wins. And it's these wins, man, these ugly wins kind of reminds me of like New England Patriots, you know, when they were on their run. Can't remember who else. I don't know. It's just frustrating.
Yeah, man. I mean, the Chiefs, we talk about it week to week. They kind of get outplayed, and then you look up at the scoreboard and they win again. Atlanta played a good game. We go back to clock management. You know, 6.5, 7 minutes to go. They go for it on fourth down. They converted it. They went for another fourth down in that game. Same drive of about 4.5 minutes to go. They don't get it. Should have kicked the field goal the first time. Then you're down 22-20, put the pressure on the Chiefs to put together a long drive. You got timeouts, a two-minute warning. Even if they go down and get a field goal, you're still in the game. They were kind of controlling the Chiefs' offense at that point. And then the missed PI, blatant as can be. You know, if that's Mahomes and Kelce, there's five flags on the field. We already know it's true. And, you know, I heard a good quote today. The NFL cares about ratings, money, and the Chiefs winning. And I think that showed it again on Sunday night.
Yeah, it's just hard, man. Like, you don't think there's preferential treatment, but then we just see this week in and week out, and it's not just us. Everyone sees it right in our faces. It's just so frustrating. These guys should be 0-3, all right? They should be making my dreams come true, and you know, they're already, like, 1/4 of the way to their yearly victories in all bad games. Mahomes hasn't looked great. Kelce hasn't really been a part of anything. I don't know if he's partying too much. I don't know if he's like washed. I don't know if they're just
saving. He looked a little like buzzed or whatever on the sideline, man. Like he like wasn't there, man. Did you see that kind of like his eyes or something? He just didn't look like he was there.
Well, you know, it could be that mustache, like that hillbilly, you know, mustache look. It's not my kind of look, but I'm not going to judge. You know, I can't pull it off. Maybe you can, AT.
I don't even think I want to go to that look, man.
I don't really want to talk about Lions Cardinals. It was not a high scoring game either. I had the over. Just everything was under this week. Lions got lucky to come out. Cardinals looked okay. I think Murray looks really fluid. Got that pocket a lot. Had some nice throws, but it was just a tough game.
It was a weird game. We thought this would be a high-scoring game. It looked like it was trending that way, 20-10 at halftime.
Yeah.
And then I don't know what happened with Arizona offensively. They pulled your guy Kyler Murray and pinning Kyler Murphy. Maybe that was the switch they made. I don't know. It wasn't working for them offensively. Goff under pressure. I mean, that was weird because I think right before the two-minute warning in the first half, there was an interception that they neglected because they – but he snapped it 1 second.
Oh, dude, I would watch
that. That should have counted that play.
It was definitely a thing. Yeah, they got yes. by the – I was like, dude, yeah. What the fuck is going on? So Goff hasn't looked really good either. I'm not sure there's a play calling going on. Campbell looks frustrated. They're going through some early season growing pains right now for sure, but I've already kind of touched on that a little bit.
Well, they're 2-1, and we touched on it too. They've not scored more than 20 points in a game in regulation this year. They scored 26 against the Rams, but they got the 6 points in overtime. So they scored 20 in regulation against the Rams, 16 against Tampa, and then 20 this week. Ben Johnson, I mean, I think right now teams, they're moving the ball up and down, but Goff's turning the ball over on plus side territory. That's something he didn't do a lot last year.
No.
But I think for the Detroit, the big thing is their defense, which has kind of been suspicious for them. Can they step up? Has stepped up and played really, really well. They're getting good pressure on the quarterback. They've, you know, drafted a couple corners.
Yeah.
So that part of the ball has looked good. And I think Detroit, as the year goes on, the offense will start flowing better. They got a good matchup, and we might as well go into it to get the other 3-0 team, the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, Seahawks. Well, you know, they played the Dolphins. They don't got Tua. Geno Smith had another good game, really well balanced.
He had a pretty good game. I think he threw like a stupid interception from his own end zone or something.
Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah, where he was about to get sacked. Maybe he was going to eat a safety. I don't remember exactly. He pulled a Will Levis on us.
Yeah, Will Levis. You know, he looked really good at times. I was actually watching that game. He just makes like some really stupid mistakes, but. He has an arm, man. He definitely has an arm. If he can put it all together.
Yeah, well, he's another young quarterback, man. You know, didn't make a lot of starts. We'll see. I'm not ready to give up on him yet, but they got weapons. They knew the head coach there was the OC with the Bengals. So we'll see. But Seattle, go back to them. Great hire. Like I said, Seattle was our surprise team. I said Seattle could possibly win that division, given the 49ers, how banged up they are, the Rams banged up, Arizona's still really young. Say what you want about Pete Carroll. He's like the Mike Tomlin of the NFC. He just wins every year. He got canned with a 9-8 year. I mean, Tomlin pulls up 9-8 years every year, and everybody just kisses his ass over there in Pennsylvania. But this was the best hire in the offseason. I thought Mike McDaniel was going to be the guy that was going to be on everybody's radar coming from the Harbaugh tree. He can coach defense. Seattle kind of hasn't had that defense since the Legion of Boom. Geno, I like the offensive hire. OC they brought in from University of Washington. He did a great job with Penix, Roman Dozy, and all those guys. Seattle's for real, man. They got Detroit on Monday night. I don't know if I'm going to be able to watch that game. I'm going to be in Vegas. Got some things lined up there, so I'll see if I can catch that one. But that's an exciting matchup in the NFC Monday night, Seattle versus Detroit.
Yeah, so speaking of, like, top coaches, I know everyone else is up on Shanahan. Shanahan's great. He obviously has this great offense coaching tree. But when they were up by 10 points in the fourth quarter, they started playing conservative. And it just, like, pretty played great, man. Everybody's on the IR. Same thing with the Rams. And, yeah, like he still had like what, 3 touchdowns in there, almost 300 yards. Jennings, Juwan, he came out to play, was like his, emergency outlet. That was phenomenal. But to see them lose that game, it just felt like so Shanahan-ish.
I mean, how many times are the 49ers going to see this heartbreak losing games? I mean, Shanahan's finally last year got over the hump. I think he was 0-30 when trailing in the fourth quarter of games, and they won like two last year, plus the NFC Championship game.
Oh, yeah, this first one.
And the divisional round, I believe they might have been losing going into the fourth quarter against Green Bay.
Yeah.
Purdy, like you said, man, he's balling out for a guy making under $1 million a year. That's the best bargain going, Mr. Irrelevant. All the injuries they got. I mean, Rams have a ton of injuries. Give them a ton of credit for not giving up and fighting back, because that game was 21-7. It looked like it was over. The Rams could have just folded, given up like the Raiders did, making business decisions, quote-unquote. But they didn't do that at SoFi. They sucked it up. McVay and Stafford balled out, man. They balled out. And I don't know what it is, but McVay just – he beats Kyle Shanahan when you least suspect it. It just
like head-to-head – yeah, McVay just has something over Shanahan, but Stafford looked like old Stafford of old in the fourth quarter, was money, lights out. Didn't have a ton of yardage until that fourth quarter. They came back overtime. I think San Francisco missed a field goal at the end of regulation, right? A lot of weird, you know, for sure, field goal kicking was not coming through, you know, throughout this weekend. It was an odd weekend for sure.
Yeah, but, man. Let's talk about Stafford, man. I mean, what a competitor, what a fighter. I mean, down basically two receivers, top guys. A couple other receivers get banged up. That whole line's banged up. We've talked about his Stafford, a Hall of Famer. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer, bro. First ballot. Get him on there and get him in. What this guy does on Sunday, the grittiness, if he wasn't into Detroit for all those years, I think we would be talking about him higher than we talk about Aaron Rodgers. This guy would have at least two or three Super Bowls.
Yeah, I think
he's just as talented, if not more than Mahomes, dude. I mean, think if this guy ever played Andy Reid or McVay like 10 years ago.
Yeah, I think I mentioned to you when they do like a weekly poll or like a poll, you know, with like all the incoming quarterbacks in college and like rookies. And you ask them like, who's their guy, you know, who's their quarterback that they look up to. Stafford's the name that came up the most. It was more than Rodgers, it was more than anyone else who's retired recently, like in the past 5 to 10 years, but he was the number one guy, and it's kind of surprising because he was kind of tucked away in Detroit. But yeah,
well,
the guy's
12 years wasted there, man. I don't want to say he wasted there. I mean, he was beloved there, did well, made a lot of money. But like I said, if this guy had met McVay 5-10 years ago, or been with like an Andy Reid, or even like a Kyle Shanahan, we'd be talking two or three Super Bowls, I think, easily for this guy. He's just that good.
At least
it's
one more.
Good.
Yeah. Cool. So we'll see what happens, man, in week four, right? Yeah, we'll go over the lines on Thursday, but it should be pretty fun as we start seeing these teams. We're going to start seeing like who these teams are made of, what they're made of, rather.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to get a better gauge. I mean, obviously we need to. I mean, handicapping right now, we're hitting a little over 500 in the NFL, but it's a rough week, man. Some things you think you know are going to happen. You don't. I mean, if you would have told me Malik Willis 2-0, Andy Dalton 1-0, and two on a 5-game IR already, you know, I wouldn't have taken that parlay.
Yeah, Dolphin season's probably over, but we'll get to that later on in the upcoming weeks.
You knew it was going to be a rough year for Miami when Tyreek Hill was getting arrested before the opener of the season.
Maybe that was the opener.
You knew that was like the writing on the wall, per se, that it was going to be an interesting year in Miami.
I had them missing the playoffs, so I wish I had money on it a little more. So it's looking like it's going to come true. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about some college football. Okay, it's 10 p.m. Pacific time after Monday Night Football. I'm pretty exhausted from all the football this weekend. We've been watching football Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. There's no off days anymore, guys. We got to fix it. I kind of liked it. It was just 2 to 3 days, and now we have 5 days of football. At least I'm single. I'm divorced and single, so I don't really have any obligation besides my daughter, but I feel bad for everyone that has a family still. That's got to be pretty tough.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, Rome, it's got to be pretty tough. You got a wife, kids, and got to deal with all that all the time. But yeah, 5 days a week of football, it's tough, man. I mean, you talk about the players icing themselves down, going for the grind. After Monday night, man, I'm in the ice bathtub regrouping myself. You know, get Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, regrouping, handicapping the lines, getting the brain focused again, and getting to work.
Speaking of icing, man, I have tennis tendonitis in my fucking elbow. I can't work out right now. It's been like 4 or 5 days now. Today I went to go grab my daughter's lunch pill. Had like some mac and cheese I made from her from scratch. Was came out pretty nice, by the way. Guys, I'm a cook. Ladies, if you're in the Bay Area or in LA, hit me up. I cook clean. I just watch a lot of football, so you just have to not see me for half the year. But other than that, I'm there.
Hey, I think most married couples would be happy not to see the other half for 6 months, brother.
Right. But yeah, man, I this elbow thing. I don't know if it's because, you know, now I'm in my mid to late 30s. Not sure. Injuries are starting to pile up.
Father time, man. Father time catches up to all of us.
No, this is bullshit. This is fucking bullshit. I'm hitting my peak. Then another injury popped up. But let's talk college football. It all started Friday night. Aaron had some great games that you selected for us to watch, especially the San Jose State and Washington State. That was a fucking shootout. Double overtime. I think San Jose State was trying to win for the first time against a Pac-12 team in like one or two decades. I can't remember what. They got awfully close to it. Washington State came back from behind and pulled out the victory.
Yeah, I mean, that was a great game. I mean, I came back from having a few drinks at the bar after watching Nebraska versus Illinois. It was 11 p.m. here on the West Coast watching that game overtime. Just a shootout. Just a shootout. You know, you couldn't ask for anything better on the West Coast, man. I mean, those East Coast people, I don't know how you do it. Traveled back there a few times. You know, back there when the NBA playoffs are going and, you know, Phoenix Suns are tipping off at midnight. I'm like, damn, man, I got to get to bed and it's midnight.
Yeah, no, it's got to be tough being a sports fan on the East Coast. But no, it was a fun game. I really loved it. Yeah, it was late. I think my daughter fell asleep in my arms. I had Frozen on the tablet, football game on the TV. Good times. The only thing that ruined my Friday night was seeing Nebraska lose. I don't even know what happened. It kind of just looked like Riola. How do you say his name?
I think it's Riola.
Riola, yeah. It just looked like the stage was a little too big at the end of the game. Some questionable playing calling at the end, I think. And he took a big fucking sack. Like, he got drilled at the end of that game. And that was it.
Well, they had the great play call on, and he just missed the wide open touchdown. It was the great call, threw it too far out in front. They had what they wanted, missed it. Illinois, give them a ton of credit, went on the road, 80,000 plus strong in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Dude, that stadium's awesome. I'm going to go.
Yeah, we need to go, man. I mean, I was looking, they've sold out 400 consecutive games, which basically, if you do the math, I did it. I can't remember what it was. It's like 50-plus seasons if you do 7 games average at home. That's 50-plus seasons of selling out games at Lincoln, Nebraska. That's insane. Crazy streak. I don't think it'll ever be broken. Not like a lot of these bandwagon Alabama fans. They have one bad year, they fucking throw in the towel. So give it up for Lincoln, Nebraska. Shout out to you guys. We will be making a pit stop there. Probably not this year. Fund's a little low across the board. Trying to fund this show and get it going. So if you want to help out, there's a GoFundMe page, right, Rome?
Yeah, we're going to get one up going. So I was going to Nebraska for my MBA. Kind of took a pause. I should go back to see if I can get like some good student tickets for us.
Pit us up in a valet booth, man. I mean, you know, we'll, unless, of course, it's like a game against like Ohio State and they beat them. I want to rush the field. I want to rush the field and jump up and down.
It would be kind of cool. No, it was a fun game, though. Riola, it was really funny. I think Mahomes tweeted on X, "All right, you can stop pretending to be like me," like after he took that sack, which is kind of cool. It's kind of jacked up. He had almost 300 yards, I think 3 touchdowns. I think Altmyer, is that his name, with Illinois? The quarterback, he killed it. He had some clutch throws. I think 3 or 4 touches as well. It was, I don't know. Yeah, Illinois, I didn't know that they were going to be that good. But they're both ranked teams. I don't know if Nebraska's still ranked. Are they still ranked or are they out now?
Let me take a look. I'll take a look at that. But yeah, but Illinois, man, I talked about it. If I think my preseason list of teams to watch for in the Big Ten, I had Illinois and Nebraska. Both came into this game undefeated. Illinois had a big win early in the year against Kansas. I know Kansas is kind of falling on hard times, but that's a good football team.
Yeah.
So give Illinois a ton of credit going in there, winning that game. Nebraska had a lot of momentum going for him. Matt Rhule's second year, Riola, he's got the same mannerism as Mahomes Jr. I guess right now the only difference is he doesn't make the big throws in the clutch right now.
Not yet, but he's also a true freshman. He's only 18, so, you know, when you consider all that and, like, you have, like, what, some college quarterbacks that are 25 entering year 7, pretty good.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty
Nebraska,
good. So.
Nebraska currently is out of the polls right now.
It's all good. It's all good. It's way better than last year already. So it's already.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't won 6+ games since 2015. That streak is going to come to an end. So things are looking up for Nebraska.
I'm very well aware of that, Aaron. Yeah, thanks for reminding me.
You're welcome, man. That's what I'm here for.
Let's talk about some close games, man, because I think Tennessee got like a lot of props this past weekend. They defeated Oklahoma. A lot of people had Oklahoma winning. Tennessee came, and I think the score was a little bit closer at the end than what it should have been, but it was a manhandling, I think.
Yeah, Tennessee was up 22-3 at one point. I think with the surprising thing with Tennessee, what I had coming into this year, I knew their offense was going to be great. They have an explosive offense coming in. They were almost averaging 70 points a game. So for Oklahoma to hold them down to 25, give them the props. But Tennessee's defense is legit. They're real. They attack. They're fast. They fly. They force turnovers. I think that's the surprising thing. Tennessee, defensively, this is looking like a playoff team, college football out of the SEC.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people, you know, had them, you know, highly ranked, but I don't think anyone knew how good they were until this past weekend. So it was a big victory, and now everyone notices them for sure. Just a matter of, like, I think, like, the other top five teams, I think Ole Miss is, like, the only one that hasn't really played anybody. I think Ohio State hasn't played anybody either. So when we get to some of these conference games in the next few weeks, like, October for sure, we're going to know who's for real. But, yeah, Tennessee killed it, man. So
yeah, Tennessee's won at NC State, or I think that was a neutral site game in Charlotte. They went into Norman, Oklahoma. Oklahoma, they made the switch to the freshman quarterback, I think second, third quarter after the other guy committed, like, 2 or 3 turnovers.
Yeah.
Oklahoma may have found something. Freshman quarterback looked good, raw. I mean, he was running the ball pretty well, throwing it. He's got mobility. They got a matchup coming up in that Red River Shootout with Texas. I know people are going to ride Oklahoma off. Don't do it quite yet. That's a game to keep an eye on going forward.
Yeah, that's going to be pretty fun. Some other games. I do want to talk about USC and Michigan. I know you guys had USC winning that game. And I don't know, you know, I just want to apologize for having like 3 college teams. Michigan's definitely one of the teams. But, dude,
you can have multiple college teams, man. I mean, you got to have your squad, and then you can have another team. I mean, my squad is, you're looking at it right there.
Yeah, FSU.
My second team, dude, would honestly probably be Oregon. I was a big Oregon guy in the early 2000s with Joey Harrington when nobody knew about Oregon. Fell in love with the Ducks back then. So those are my 2 squads.
Well, you know, I grew up a UCLA fan, and I've always rooted for Nebraska. And you know what? I was trying to figure out, like, why do I like Detroit teams? And I think it's from Home Improvement. I want to do a pod about TV shows that could influence a whole bunch of fans, because there's no way I would like Detroit Red Wings and Michigan. And I've always liked rooting for the Lions. They haven't been good our whole lives, so it didn't hurt me rooting for them, you know?
Well, the Lions were something when we were kids because you had Barry Sanders, so we had that. We liked the Detroit Red Wings because we always used to ball out with them in NHL 96. Winning Stanley Cups with them. And then the Pistons, you always had the Bad Boys and whatnot. And they just...
I'm a big Dennis Rodman guy, so yeah. I don't know, but... Dude, I thought it was a great, great game. Cale Mullings, there's like a funny clip with him like a Superman cape on Instagram, just coming in the clutch. Like, he was dominant. He had that nice run in the fourth quarter that kind of led to the winning touchdown. USC came back, right? They were down. They finally took the lead. Michigan, the orgy party, it was only for a party for 3 inches or smaller because there wasn't much on the offensive production as far as passing, like 39 yards, I think.
32 yards. Yeah, 3 inches is smaller in women over 250 pounds because that wasn't the orgy party I wanted to be a part of.
We're not going to make that go far viral. Oh, man, it's cold. It'd be cold. Dude, so you're right, Betty. Whoa, pause. We'll edit that out, maybe. I don't know. Hey, man, big girls need love, too. Anyways, dude, orgy, can't throw for shit, man. It's like Trent Richardson who can't, he couldn't complete a throw more than 3 yards. 32 yards. Guess what? It's the least amount of pass yards that they've had since 1996. But yeah, he's not the answer, though. Like, it was just a well-run game, great running attack. Michigan's defense is really good, but also USC's defense is really solid, too. It's just, like, I think the only difference was, like, the big plays. Just Michigan was able to do the big plays. They came in clutch with an interception. They had the two big runs that just opened up the rest of the field, and they were able to, like, do, like, an outlet to their tight end. Got another first down, and then got some points on the boards. It was really impressive for them being a top 25 team. I know you said this is a 6-loss team. They don't look like a 6-loss team, but I don't know how the hell they're going to win every game. Like, they're just like Pittsburgh Steelers, kind of ugly football.
Yeah, I mean, I looked over their schedule. I'll get into what I think they can win or lose. But USC, we talked about their defense. You mentioned Michigan, two big runs for touchdowns, and Mullins with that big run to get them inside the 20. That led to the 4th-and-2 go-ahead winning score. USC defensively just waited too late to adjust on offense and defense. They knew Orgy couldn't throw the ball. They didn't get to a bare front run-stop defense till they got two big runs on them. And then give Mullins a ton of credit. They had it snuffed out. Linebacker filled late. Safety broke through that tackle, broke through another tackle around 50, 60 yards down the sideline. Michigan's tough and grittiness overcame a more finesse USC team. I think USC will learn from it going forward. Michigan, I'm looking at their schedule.
Yeah, I'm looking at two.
Minnesota and Northwestern, I think, are gimme wins. I think they lose to Oregon and Ohio State. That would pin them at 5-3. And then I think the other four games are all toss-ups. Washington, Illinois, Michigan State, and Indiana. Those games are 50-50 to me. If they win two and two in that stretch, they go 7-5. So we'll see what happens. I'm really impressed with Michigan State. Just their young quarterback turns the ball over too much. That's could be something that hurts you. But like you said, Michigan quarterback wise, what do? Do they go back to Warren? He turns the ball over too much. But you got a throwing game. I mean, you can throw the ball somewhat decently. Or you can't. They've got Minnesota this week. I'd go to the third string quarterback. I'd give him a shot. What do you got to lose? You want to run the ball. I mean, they completed one pass in the second half to the tight end.
I think if, as long as they have like a top 10 defense, which is what Michigan does, I think they have a chance to win all these games. They're not going to win out, obviously. OSU, Oregon, those could be losses, but you got to imagine if they just beat USC, and USC has looked good this year, I imagine they're going to beat one of those other teams as well.
They get Oregon at home. Oregon hasn't looked great, but maybe Oregon figured some things out. They blew out Oregon State. They had a bye week. They play this week. I haven't looked to see who their opponent is. They kind of made some adjustments on their offensive line and turned things around. So that'd be an interesting game. They're not going to win at Ohio State. They just don't have the offense to do it. Ohio State, you got to score 30 points to beat them. Michigan's not going to do that. They'll beat Minnesota this week in Michigan, like we talked about. Then they go at Washington. That's a sneaky game. Steve Belichick, he knows how to call a great defense. He'll have the run scheme set up. Washington has only given up a touchdown to one opponent this year. That's Washington State. The other three have not scored a touchdown against them. That will be a dogfight. Michigan probably wins it because they've just got that bully ball in them. But that's a sneaky game in the Pacific Northwest. Washington seeking revenge after the national title loss.
Possibly. I can see them having three losses. But it's hard for me to get to six.
Six, I think, is tough. If they lose to Washington, I think it looks more likely they do. Michigan State, I think, is better. But they get them at home. They'll lose at Indiana. At Illinois is going to be a tough game, too. We know Illinois physical, can compete with the big boys. That's not a gimme win. So we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, for sure. No, it was a good game, though. Big win for Michigan.
Huge win for Michigan. They needed it more than USC. You can't let a Pac-12 finesse school like that come in and beat you. And that's what I think USC, they learned. They learned, like, hey, this isn't the Pac-12. Welcome to the Big House. Welcome to Big Ten bully football.
Welcome to the Big
and
Ten.
I want to add in, I'm not surprised they lost, because if you look at the Pac-12, which used to be, who was the one team in the Pac-12 that resembled any team in the Big Ten? It was Utah. And who always beat USC? Utah. They
played
physical football. They play physical football defensively, run the ball. That's the closest that the Pac-12 had to a Big Ten team and always gave USC fits.
At least Utah in the last decade or so, for sure. Speaking of which, Utah just escaped 22-19 against Oklahoma State. That was a really nice game.
Considering the freshman quarterback, Isaac Wilson, Zach Wilson's brother, played the whole game. Cam Rising was expected to play, didn't it? That's why we had Utah plus 2.5. Then the line changed to a pick'em because I think everybody thought Cam Rising was going to play. Utah, man, that defense is gritty. They're tough. They're right now the class of the Big 12 joining that conference, with Kansas State getting whipped up by BYU. No one's talking about BYU. BYU, Utah, in-state, Mormon rivalry. That's going to go down later on in the year.
Yeah, that was the one game I checked on it. I tend to root for Kansas State from time to time. I did not expect them to get whooped like that. They were a complete no-show for a 13-ranked team to get beat up like that. It was ugly, really, really.
Yeah, it was a weird game. They got up to a 6-0 lead. Then the things just fell apart late second half, our first half, second quarter.
Yeah.
And then BYU just pitted on them. 38-6 at one point?
Yeah,
BYU 38. BYU's pretty good, man. BYU's pretty good. They're pretty good. Yeah. They won a game at SMU 2 weeks ago. Underrated. Underrated is BYU. I'm sure they're in the top 25 now.
Yeah. All Kansas State can muster is just all field goals. They got three field goals throughout the whole game. And it was just BYU from the second quarter on. It was pretty impressive.
Yeah, so I'm seeing BYU jump to 22 in the polls. Funny, Kansas State 23 right behind them.
Really? They still stayed in?
Yeah.
Let's briefly talk about Northern Illinois blowing their chances with a tough loss, man. That was like another tough game.
Overtime,
they had the ball. I think they were down by a touchdown, right? Or by a field goal. They got the field goal to tie it up. That sent it to overtime. And then what happened from there?
Well, Northern Illinois obviously coming off that big win 2 weeks ago against Notre Dame. Got the bye week. Let all the press go to their head. You know, everybody talking about how great you are, sitting on a home and reading those paper clippings. Everybody saying you're going to make the playoff. Here comes Buffalo. 2 TD underdog, and then you're in a dogfight, man. And Northern Illinois just didn't have enough dog in them to get it done. Cinderella goes down again. College football story this year, man. You think you're safe? Nah.
It was really funny because after they beat Jason's Notre Dame team, there was an interview with the coach where he was really happy that they're gonna have the bye week, you know, to kind of get them to reset the high. But I honestly think like that's the best time to continue your fucking season, right? Because you're feeling good. You got to keep the momentum going. But having a week off, resetting, not a good look. Obviously, they weren't in charge of that schedule, you know, beforehand. But, you know, they looked solid against Notre Dame. They looked really nice that they belonged there.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, they look great. They got $1.5 million, look great. They obviously spent it during the bye week because this team wasn't as prepared, didn't have that drive like we talked about. Northern Illinois, I'm disappointed. I wanted him to keep riding the Cinderella. I think Notre Dame wanted him to keep winning. Notre Dame, if they're on the outside looking in for the playoff, they may look back and say, man, they want Northern Illinois to keep winning.
Yeah, let's speak about a couple more upsets, man. Jay Madison beating the shit out of North Carolina. 70 points. And North Carolina still scoring 50. I don't know. There's not probably too many college football games where a team can score 50 and still lose.
It is rare, but we did see it in San Jose State, Washington State, where San Jose State dropped 52. It happens in college football more than we think. James Madison dropped 50 in the first half, 50 burger in the first half.
Yeah, did you cash that game?
I didn't, man. I didn't. I just kept – they kept showing the highlight every 5 minutes, and James Madison's quarterback was running it in, throwing it in. And they were like, oh, yeah, North Carolina's scoring. They got 21 points, but they've already given up 36, and it was 43. Then it was 50.
Dude,
North Carolina's on, what, their fourth quarterback, I believe?
Yeah, it's not looking good. I totally forgot Mac Brown was there. So once he was being interviewed, I was like, oh, that's right. He's been there. Like, he was there in the 90s, and now he's there again. And it was 53-21 at the end of the first half. Like, that's mind-boggling.
Look, Mac Brown's done a good job in North Carolina resurrecting that program. With Drake May, I think he's won 8, 9 games. They've been to bowl games. He's done a good job there. We just talked about, you know, he was going to retire if he can't, you know, coach a defense and not give up 70 points. That quote was kind of blown out of line. Mac Brown's not going anywhere. He's sitting on a fat $5 million check. He's not going anywhere until somebody rides him out of town, and then he's going to get paid the buyout money. I just want to say, North Carolina, they did give up 70 points to James Madison, but I'll tell you straight up right now, Florida State couldn't even score 20 points on that defense right now. I'll be honest. Florida State couldn't even go and score 20 on North Carolina right now, today.
Yeah, that's pretty
important. That's how bad they are on offense.
So I actually haven't seen too much of James Madison. I know they're pretty brand new to, like, D1, so
James Madison's not bad. They're not bad. They had a season last year where they were going to go undefeated and get left out of the playoff and then claim themselves national champions. They were going to pull that. They were going to pull that stunt because they weren't eligible for the playoff because this is only, like, their second, third, fourth year in the football subdivision one. So they weren't bowl eligible. So they were going to – but they got beat late, like last game of the year, Appalachian State or somebody beat them. But they were going to make up T-shirts and claim themselves self-proclaimed national champions going 13-0.
You know what's crazy? Because I was, like, looking up JMU, and I wasn't sure who they played or, like, I totally forgot, like, what conference they were in. But just, like, their previous game, man, they played against Gardner-Webb. Gardner-Webb is an FCS school, and they barely got by 13-6, and then the comeback
13-6 against Gardner-Webb.
Yeah, dude, it was like
they scored 70 on North Carolina.
Exactly, what a turnaround! I'm kind of confused. Like,
and the transfer portal's over, right? They didn't transfer all these guys in over the week, right?
It's still mind boggling.
Wow, Gardner-Webb. Yeah.
So we'll see how good they are. I think they play Louisville coming up.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. They don't play Louisville. It's just
a glitch in the system. Yeah, I mean, Gardner-Webb, I'd always see playing, like, in basketball, getting whipped in the basketball game, like, 82-45. I didn't even know they played football. I thought they were, like, Cal State Fullerton, undefeated since, like, 1970.
Yeah, no, 6 points. It was an ugly game, so for them to score 70 points, they definitely came to play pretty impressive. Bad loss for UNC. But
That's a terrible loss for UNC.
Terrible loss. Speaking of terrible losses, your Memphis, man, also got upset this weekend.
Navy, man, you got to be careful. Those bros will steal your signals. We already know that from the Connor Stallions documentary. Navy had the inside. They had the inside information. Don't know how they got it, but they got the job done on Saturday.
High scoring, man, 56-44.
Exactly. How they score that many points? I mean, Navy, they score 56 points all year total for all their games. That's a lot.
But yeah, but Navy's
3-0. Memphis was running that high, beating Florida State. They thought they were looking great as being a non-power four group of five team. They were in the driver's seat. A lot of teams, like we talked about, Northern Illinois, Memphis in the driver's seat. Not no more.
Shit in the bed. Pressure breaks pipes, I guess. So this is a good game. I caught a little bit of it. Rutgers at Virginia Tech. Everyone thought Virginia Tech was going to, you know, manhandle Rutgers, but the O-line, the running game from Rutgers looked pretty solid. They won 26-23, and now they're undefeated and looking pretty solid.
Yeah, Virginia Tech's been a big disappointment in the ACC. A lot of people had them as a surprise team that could contend and come out of there and win that conference. Outside of Florida State, they've probably been the second biggest disappointment, Virginia Tech. Rutgers is good. Underrated. Program's been coming up. They're getting physical. Big matchup of Washington at home. I think Rutgers can take that game, man.
It's this Friday. And it's been a while since Rutgers have been good. Then
Not
they played
since Ray Rice. Remember Ray Rice?
Ray Rice. I was trying to remember when was that, but it's been
Ray
a while.
Rice,
yeah,
man.
And yeah, they play Washington this week, then Nebraska the week after, and then Wisconsin, which Wisconsin, I don't know whether they're good or not because they've had up and down season already. And then they play UCLA and USC. That's a tough stretch, man. That's a tough stretch. That's a tough schedule.
Whoever made the Big Ten schedule for Rutgers, they didn't give them any favors. That's for sure.
So they got an easy start, you know. Is that Howard?
Well,
it's Howard.
You just read their schedule, man. You've got to put some cupcakes on there and get some wins.
They got some cupcakes. Virginia Tech was not a cupcake, but it was a nice win. But Washington, Nebraska, Wisconsin, who knows whether that's going to be tough or not. UCLA, that might be a gimme, how the way UCLA's been playing.
UCLA.
Minnesota.
Where's that USC game at? Where's that USC game? Is that at the Coliseum or they got to travel to New Jersey?
That's at the Coliseum on a Friday night in L.A. We should catch that game.
Might have to.
Then they have Minnesota, then Maryland, then Illinois. Then they ended with Michigan State. That's a tough schedule.
That's a tough schedule, man. Jesus. All those games are 50-50 right there.
They are, yeah. Good luck to you, Rutgers, but nice victory, and I guess you're kind of for real, so that's pretty solid. Let's talk about your Florida State finally getting a win. Congratulations.
Thank you, my man. Thank you. They needed it.
Like, you know, what'd you see? What'd you like?
The offense still looks disgusting. Nothing to see there. Got a little bit of the run game going. I would make a switch at quarterback. Don't think they're going to now. I saw a lot of memes from Florida State fans, like, happy they won, but they're like, damn, we still got to stick with the same quarterback. So, defensively, finally showed some effort, some heart, some energy. That was big, holding Cal to 9 points. Cal's not a bad team. They won at Auburn this year, came in undefeated. You messaged me, like, dude, what's going on in Florida State? I'm like, bro, they're 0-3, playing against a 3-0 team. Be happy they're in the game. And then the game ball's got to go to Cal's kicker. He missed two field goals, saved Florida State. I think I said Thursday Florida State would win by a late 55, 56-yard field goal, but their defense would make a stand. I got 66% of that prediction right. Florida State winning, the defense making a stand. I'm happy. They got SMU on Saturday. I don't see a lot of wins on their schedule. That's why the hat's on. It might be the only one they get this year, but who knows, man.
Yeah, so I don't even know how to pronounce his name. Do you guys quarterback?
They just call him DJU. DJU.
DJU. Yeah, DJU. It's not that good, man. Maybe like a little overhyped. But who does Florida State play next?
SMU.
SMU?
Yeah, that's at SMU. So they got at SMU followed by Clemson. I mean, I'm looking at their schedule. I think SMU is going to beat them. I think Clemson is going to beat them. They're going to lose to Miami. They're going to lose to Notre Dame. They got North Alabama later in the year. They should beat them. Then you got Duke, North Carolina, and Florida. Maybe they get 3 to 4 wins. If they beat SMU, maybe they can get to 6 wins in a bowl game, but that's a big stretch. I think this is a 3-4 win team.
Well,
I told you off the air, I think we should start a poll. Who's going to win more games this year, Florida State or UCLA?
Yeah, you know, I was actually impressed with UCLA. They came and played in the first half, at least up to like midway through the third quarter. I was surprised that they actually had the lead, right? I was like, all right, cool, upset alert. Let's make it happen. And then LSU just separated themselves in the fourth quarter, and rightfully so.
Yeah, UCLA, I was surprised, but I'm more so disappointed in LSU's defense. Just allowing 17 points to UCLA. I mean, UCLA came into that game averaging under 13 against Indiana and Hawaii.
Yeah, that's different.
And then they dropped 17 in the first half. They're moving the ball, big plays. The offense looked like it actually wasn't elementary school, and they knew what they were doing. But LSU too much in the passing game offensively, and then the defense finally was able to get him off the field and make some stops. We had LSU minus 21. Disappointed they didn't cover that. Should have easily covered it. Should have been they should have dropped 45 on these guys.
Yeah, I think out of all the top 15 teams, LSU might be the most disappointing. They don't look like a very good 3-1 team.
Their defense isn't very good right now. And I know they brought in a new defensive coordinator from Missouri, but unit-wise, player-wise, they're out of position a lot. They miss a lot of tackles. It's not looking good for them defensively. They're definitely not in the top 5-6 teams in that conference right now.
That was kind of surprising, too, because I thought they should have won against USC, so they could easily be 4-0 right now. But, yeah, some of these victories have been barely.
A win's a win. I mean, talking about barely, you got Missouri double overtime, late field goal to beat Vanderbilt, Jay Cutler's alma mater.
Jay Cutler, yeah. I didn't catch too much of that game, but I did hear a lot of people talking about, you know, Missouri should maybe just get like half a win or get a loss still counted against them because it was against Vanderbilt. And according to Saban, Vanderbilt's the easiest place to play in.
Well, yeah, I saw that. Vanderbilt's the only stadium in the SEC where you actually have more fans on your side than they do on theirs.
That's pretty funny. Based on this, like, all right, so like we're like 4 weeks in, man. So
we got to talk about it before you go into that, Colorado, man. Got to talk about Colorado. Yeah.
Getting the summer, Colorado.
Your boy, Dion, I didn't hear it. You said he got into it again with the media. What went down there, man?
He did, yeah. Well, it was more about him saying the media is a little bit jealous with how much money everyone's making in NIL and all the players. And I just think, I don't know, man. I don't know what Dion's problem is. It's always one thing or the other. He's just, I'm a big fan of Prime Time. But him as a coach and this other persona that he is now, not so much. And then his son, Shador Sanders, he looked clutch. He didn't even budge when he had that Hail Mary pass, which I don't know how the hell they pulled it off. I thought it bounced off the floor. Can't believe he actually caught it. Luck, complete luck. Another game that they could have easily lost, but now they're crediting God. It's okay, God's going to pick your team or the other team. Like, come on, dude. Let's get real. Everyone's praying. But then Shador Sanders to say, you know, he doesn't got it like that. Like, I think someone asked him, you know, what makes you like fight, you know, like put in all this work and effort into these games, you know, like, because, you know, you come from like a, you know, like a Hall of Fame dad, got everything you could ask for. He's like, well, my dad don't got me in a trust fund like that. It's like, come on, dude. Like, you're like in the top 1% as a kid. All right. You drive some of the nicest cars in the world. Like, you're privileged as fuck. And he's pretending like he's not privileged. It's just like everything about them just rubs you the wrong way.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're not, like you said, the elephant in the room is like, we know you had a good upbringing. Don't act like you had it hard like some people.
Yeah, no, you haven't.
Yeah. And Shadir Sanders, this is kind of my thing with them, is I would have liked to seen him get away from Prime Time and go to another program and see how he does. I think this is going to be my knock on him going to the National Football League. His dad's coached him his whole life.
Yeah.
And it's one thing for you to be, for a coach to be mad at you, and it's another thing for your dad. Like, your dad's still going to love you. Like, a coach that's job relies on you to win is going to say, dude, get the fuck out of here. You're going to the bench or I'm cutting you.
Yeah.
So I'll be interested to see what he does when he gets to the pros. As far as like, hey, we work harder than everybody. God is on our side. Like you mentioned, Rome, everybody prays to God every day. Everybody's working hard. No one goes out there and just goes like, hey, I prayed to God today. I'm going to win this football game. You got to go out there. You got to go out there. If that was the case, we'd all be here millionaires living a great life.
Exactly.
But I mean, Colorado, their drama, they're a great story. Because all their games are entertaining. And then afterwards, it's even more entertaining in the press room. But I think Dion, you know, he's doing well, man. He's making $5 million a year there. He's got KFC commercials, NIL for his kids. They're set up for life regardless if they succeed in the NFL or not. Travis Hunter, no one's talking about him, or people are, for Heisman. Ultra, ultra talented player. Should have went to Florida State where he was committed to, but Jackson State bought him out for $1 million, so the rumor goes. and then Colorado, the NIL. These guys are good. They're making good money. Colorado, you know, Joe Klatt, he's a homer. He loves them, talking about, hey, they beat Baylor, they beat UCF, they're a Big 12 contender for the playoff. You couldn't be any more wrong, Joe Klatt, on that. This team's not even close to a playoff team. They may get lucky and beat UCF and pray to God twice on Saturday. I don't care. They're not up there with the big boys of the Big 12. Utah would smoke them. Arizona would beat them. Kansas State would beat them. Kansas would beat them. I can go on and on. I don't want to name 10 of the 12 teams in the conference. Colorado's fun and exciting. The culture there is kind of like, hey, us against the world, but that's where it is everywhere. I'm not buying it.
Yeah, it's good for college football. Like, you know, like, yeah, like they had no fans. Now, like, they're, you know, they're selling out, you know, arenas. Real quick, though, do you think Travis Hunter is in the forefront to win Heisman? Or Fedor Sanders, like, he's still being projected as, like, a top, you know, first-round pick. Is that still going down? Do you kind of agree with that or what? Yeah.
I don't have Shadir Sanders rated as a first-round NFL quarterback. I think he projects more early second round. What we saw from like Derek Carr and those guys that go between like 35 and 45. He might go in the first round. We'll see. I mean, he takes too many hits. He kind of reminds me of like Jalen Hurts in the sense that he just kind of loses track of where he's at, throws a lot of stupid interceptions from time to time, takes a lot of unnecessary sacks, fumbles. Remember that game, he got sacked in the fourth quarter, I think five times by Baylor. He does a good job extending plays and moving, but doesn't know like when to give up on a play, when to run, when to throw it, sometimes forces throws. I just think his pocket awareness isn't that great, and he takes a lot of risky throws. And then again, he's undersized, right? He's undersized. And I was watching him, and you know who he reminds me of in the NFL? And who his player comp is for me is Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod Taylor and Shadir Sanders are basically like the same dude, and Tyrod Taylor was a 6th-round pick.
That's interesting. See that, actually. So, like, Colorado's schedule is pretty interesting. They play UCF next.
Where's that at? That's at UCF?
That's at UCF. Then they play. Then they play currently ranked Kansas State.
That's a loss.
After a bye week. Then at Arizona, which Arizona is hit or miss. Then Cincinnati.
They'll beat them.
Then Texas Tech.
Where's that at?
At Texas Tech, I believe.
50-50 game.
Red Raiders, yeah. And then they host Utah.
Utah whip them.
And then they end the season at Kansas and then Oklahoma State.
They'll lose both of those games.
You got them mostly lost.
Yeah.
See, like, because there you got,
I mean,
like,
let's look at Colorado. I mean, they won Baylor on a Hail Mary.
Yeah.
They beat a Division II team, North Dakota State or South Dakota State, by 5 points. And a lot of people thought South Dakota State, North Dakota State, I don't remember what it was going to beat them.
Yeah.
Nebraska walloped them. Nebraska let off the gas. Nebraska could have beat them like 50-0. They just kind of let off the gas. And Matt Rhule didn't want to make it, you know, hey, I hate Deion, I'll beat the shit out of him. He didn't want to get into that, so he took it easy on him.
Right.
And then who beat Colorado after Nebraska? Oh, that's the only, they're 3-1 right now, Colorado, right?
3-1, yeah, but I think.
Can they get to 6 wins? That's the question. Can they get to 6 wins and get bowl eligible? I don't know.
I think they could possibly get to 7 since they're already halfway there. But I think they're over under
right now.
Yeah.
I think they're over under 5.5. Maybe it was 4.5.
I think it was 4.5.
They've won every game I expected them to win right now. I don't see them beating UCF. I think UCF is undefeated. Check that up. I think UCF is undefeated.
Yeah, they're 3-0 in the Big 12. Big win against
West Virginia. They came back and beat West Virginia. Or was it TCU? Which one did they come back and beat?
Yeah.
TCU. Okay. Well, everybody beats up on TCU. Just ask SMU.
Yeah.
UCF will beat Colorado. What's the line? They got the line out on that game. Do you see it?
Not where I'm at right now, no.
Let me pull it up. My guess is UCF's probably a 4 or 5 point favorite. I'm going to pull it up right now, that line.
We'll get a chance to, like, delve into that.
Let me go to the Big 12.
One.
Wow. So I was way wrong. UCF's a 14-point favorite.
Ooh.
14-point.
So let's say they lose the next two games. Let's say they win Arizona and Cincinnati.
They're not winning at Arizona.
No?
No. They're not going to beat Arizona. They'll beat Cincinnati, I believe. But they're not going to beat Arizona.
Texas Tech.
That's a 50-50 game. They better pray to the gods on that one.
They're losing against Utah. No way they're winning that. Kansas.
You're not going to beat Kansas.
Kansas does lay out some duds once in a while. Then they end with Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State's pretty gritty, so.
Is that at Oklahoma State?
No, they host them.
They can win that game. Oklahoma State lays an egg in big games on the road.
But they got three more ranked teams on their schedule, so.
And they're not beating any one of them.
No.
And they're 14-point underdog against UCF. So unless they beat UCF, I don't see that happening.
Yeah.
The odds makers don't see it either.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll see how they do. Anything else you want to cover?
I think we covered pretty much everything in college football. Do we have any other games? I mean, I'll give you some games to watch on the Thursday pod when I break down getting back from recovery, tomorrow's recovery, ice baths, massages, all that good stuff. Get back in the flow of things.
Do you agree with the top 25 right now?
Let me look at let's
go like top 10 real quick. Texas number one, Georgia number two, Ohio State number three. I'm pretty much in line with that. Alabama. Yeah. I don't think they've really done anything yet at number four.
I'd put Tennessee above Alabama.
Put Tennessee there, but I also really like Ole Miss, but I know Ole Miss hasn't played anybody either, though, but I'm guessing that might be a top four team.
Yeah, I'm looking at the top 10. I don't really have a problem with it. Yeah, it looks sufficient to me right now. Yeah.
What do you think about Michigan at number 12?
I guess. I mean, I'm not. I mean, Michigan. They take football. Their only loss is against the one team, Texas.
Yeah. No, 12 ranked teams losing six games a year. That's all I'm saying. It'd be tough for that to come to reality.
They said the same thing about Florida State being preseason 10, not losing. Anything can happen, man.
You're right. I don't remember the last time a ranked team like this fell out like that.
USC started last year ranked number six and didn't even finish in the top 25. It happens.
They were too high. LSU at 14, that's a little too high for me.
LSU is just, they look pretty, but without the makeup, they're not very good, dude.
Yeah.
Iowa State at 18 is a team to keep an eye on in the Big 12.
Yeah.
I think Michigan at 12 is fine because everybody below them pretty much has a loss. We're going to find out about Michigan, man. I mean, I'm not worried about them against Minnesota, but they got to be able to do something more on offense than just what they did because teams are just going to load the box, play the run, and force you to pass. And I don't think they have enough playmakers on the outside, and they don't have a quarterback to throw the ball.
I think that's the most impressive thing is they don't have a quarterback. They have no succession plan for Jesus. I just can't believe it.
Yeah, I mean, you would think with transfers, somebody. I mean, they talk about Orgy like he was supposed to be like some great athlete, but everybody else that recruited him to play every position but quarterback.
Yeah, he doesn't look that good. He's obviously very athletic, but he wasn't even that quick. He didn't look very elusive when I was watching the game this past weekend.
No, he didn't. He didn't. I mean, maybe USC's defense is quicker than we think.
Maybe. Maybe that's it.
Because they're used to playing against quick finesse teams. So they, you know, they were undersized and they kind of got bullied. We saw that. That's what that's been the knock on the Pac-12, right, against the Big Ten and the SEC in playoff games is, do they have the power to contend? Now that you're going to that conference and you played against the most powerful Michigan is old school football. You know, two tight ends, a fullback. We're going to run it. Here it is. And they broke three runs, and that's all the game. That was the game. They broke three runs and a pick six, and that's what won them the game. Outside of that, they didn't do anything else. I mean,
yeah,
nothing. 32 yards passing.
I can't remember the last time a college team didn't have a quarterback and still did well throughout the season. I'm trying to remember.
You'd have to go back to Nebraska and those teams running the triple option and that stuff.
In the 90s?
Yeah. But even then, I think the passing game was better. I mean, we'll see what Michigan's got going forward. We're in agreement they're going to beat Minnesota. That game out Washington is a big game, man. It's a big game. I think Washington's going to lose against Rutgers. We talked about it. But that 70,000 Husky Stadium, Saturday. Hopefully it's a Saturday night game, dude, where it's just kind of misty and raining and just feels great outside where it's 65 degrees. Michigan's got their mouthpiece on. Steve Belichick out there with the hoodie. I can't wait to see that game in 2 weeks, man.
It's going to be good, man.
If somebody wants to fly me up there, I'll go.
Well, cool, man. Yeah, it was a packed week of football, so I'm excited it's over and could kind of watch a little bit of baseball, I guess. And
there's so much to cover, man. We could be on this pod 24/7, 365.
Yeah, you know what? I do want to talk about women's basketball at one point. We're in the playoffs now. Kaitlyn Clark got manhandled in her first playoff game. But maybe we could do that the next pod.
Yeah, she did win Rookie of the Year, right?
I think so, yeah. Unanimous Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, I heard that.
At least AP. I'm not sure. Like the WNBA is kind of weird. It's a lot of drama unfolding. Just everyone's so jealous of Kaitlyn Clark bringing all this attention. And you know, she dominated, man. She was fourth in MVP voting, but
I mean, she's brought a lot of attention to the sport, and it's positive. I mean, they're selling out 20,000 people in arenas, WNBA. I mean, there's teams in the WNBA that their whole season home attendance never got to 20,000 before Kaitlyn Clark.
What's crazy, like the craziest stat, and then we'll just leave it on that, but like Kaitlyn Clark had more televised games than what the Lakers are going to have this year.
I don't have a problem with that.
I'm not looking forward to basketball season, man. I'm not looking forward to it.
It's right around the corner, man. I just seen that NHL preseason just started, man.
Really?
We gotta go to a couple games, man, when you're down here, man. Ducks. We gotta go to a couple Ducks games.
Yeah, we gotta go to
San Jose's got that number one draft pick too, man.
We gotta go, yeah. We'll get to it. We'll do a full NHL preview. We have enough guys to bring.
We'll make Mr. Chicago open up his checkbook and take us to a game, man. He owes us.
Yeah, exactly.
He owes us.
Yeah, we'll do NBA preview soon. But yeah, man, week four in the books for college football. Week three in the books. It's going to be a hell of a season.
It's going to be fun.
All right, man. Well, I'll catch you on Thursday. Jason will be with us. We'll definitely talk a little baseball. Looking forward to it.